I was teasing Nicole. It's going to be the hardest thing to do is hand her my clicker. So, but again, I'd like to introduce Nicole and also thank her. She has been very instrumental that last few weeks. So we have an agreement. Next week I'm back. So I'm just, men, you know how it is. Sometimes you just get overloaded with too many women telling you what to do. You just can't fight it. So, but again, I'm very grateful for Nicole stepping in here.
Okay. Excuse me. Today we're going to talk about the difference between love and acceptance. And I'm going to preface today with a little story about me, but bear with me, because I'm going to bring it all around here in the end. But a couple of years ago, instead of setting New Year's resolutions, I began meditating at the end of the year and beginning of the new year. And during prayer time, I would allow God to give me a word of the year, help me choose the word that was going to set the tone for my year. And this word would help me have focus, and just, that would be the word for the year for me. This year, for 2024, the word that God gave me was uncomfortable. And at the time when this word came to me, I can remember thinking, are you sure, God? The word uncomfortable seemed very odd to me. But now looking back over the last several months, it makes perfect sense. When you're comfortable, you become stagnant and complacent. There's no growth when you're hanging out in your comfort zone. When God gave me the topic of today's sermon, it was another, are you sure, God moment. And on a side note for anyone that's wondering maybe why I'm seemingly questioning God so much, as a Christian, I believe wholeheartedly that God speaks to us. But if we believe that God speaks to us, we have to also realize that Satan can worm his way into our thoughts as well. And I always want to make sure that what I'm saying is coming from God and that I'm not being deceived and I'm speaking the truth. So the topic today is of love and acceptance in the church. It's a difficult one. It's a topic that's very uncomfortable at times. There's that word again. But in today's world, where seemingly anything goes and everyone is yearning to be accepted, it's a topic that the church must not shy away from. This will be today's scripture that we'll be reading out of, if you want to go ahead and kind of get it settled there in your Bibles. If I were to ask right now how many of you sitting here today think that God loves us exactly as we are, I have no doubt that every hand in the sanctuary would go up, and rightfully so. Now, if I were to ask the question, how many of you think that God accepts us, I have to wonder how many hands would go up as well. For a multitude of reasons, be it filling pews, the need to pay bills, or not wanting to make waves or offend anyone, too many churches today are preaching love and acceptance to the point of loving people right into hell. I'm not here today to debate that God loves us. I 100% wholeheartedly believe that with everything in me. Anyone that's had an ounce of church in their life can quote John 3:16. And I can't imagine a love greater than that, than to offer up your own child to save that of other, the life of others. Today, I want to talk about acceptance. I looked up the definition of acceptance in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It means to receive something willingly, to give admittance or approval, to endure without protest, and to regard as proper and normal. Acceptance confers approval and gives permission to do something. Now, I'm not going to call out any specific sins today. I'm going to leave that conviction between you and God. But as humans, it's our nature to want to label and quantify things. We justify things in our lives to make ourselves feel better by comparing our sins, kind of like this. We make ourselves feel better by saying, I only sinned a little this week. I didn't, you know, look at my neighbor down there. Their life looks much worse than mine. They're living much more in sin. I'm not doing so bad. But God, however, sees sin a little more like this. To God, sin is sin, and it looks a little different. We need to stop fooling ourselves and justifying our sins to spare our own feelings. It's time to call it like it is. A sin is a sin, equal across the board, and it all separates us from the love of God. When conversations have come up over the years justifying acceptance in the church, I've often had it thrown at me that Jesus hung out with sinners like prostitutes and tax collectors, and he preached against judging others. This watered-down version of Jesus brings to mind someone living their best life, hanging out with sinners, and having the mindset of, you do you, and we're all good here. But I will caution you, this couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus loves on everyone, including sinners. I should know, because I am one. But then he goes on to minister to the sinners, he teaches the sinners, and he calls them to repentance. Anytime we see Jesus interacting in the gospel with sinners, he loves on them to bring them in, and then he loves them enough not to accept them just as they are. He always leaves them with a call to repentance. Turn with me to John 8:1-11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he was at the temple again, and all of the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. Teacher, they said to him, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? They asked this to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground and said to them, the one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he stooped down and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman standing there. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord, she answered. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus said. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. When the crowd left, did Jesus tell the woman, it's okay. God accepts you because he loves you. No, instead he told her, go and sin no more. These five words perfectly demonstrate God's love. He loved this woman so much that he urged her to change her life. All parents should understand this type of love. As a parent, we love our children unconditionally. I can't imagine anything that my boys could do to make me not love them. But as a parent, we have to set rules and define boundaries and even correct our children at times. We just can't simply accept any behavior that they put forth. If you would turn with me to Luke 5:30-32. But the Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus replied to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Once again, we find Jesus hanging out with sinners and calling them into repentance. It does not say that he is accepting their lifestyle and leaving them like he found them. Jesus' mission was to invite the spiritually sick to repent and experience a restored relationship with God. I want to return to my opening questions. Does God love all people regardless of the state that they're in? Unequivocally, yes. Does he accept people just as they are? I don't believe that he does. As much as the world wants to deceive us into believing the notion that love equals acceptance, that is simply not the truth. For God and Jesus to accept us, faults and all, would be for them to show indifference, which is the opposite of love. Now, we've talked about God's love, and we've discussed the notion of acceptance. So I think it would be completely remiss of me if I didn't share the hope of God's grace today. After all, we all have sinned, and none of us are acceptable to God just as we are. And if we are being honest, the go and sin no more is a tall order to live up to. I don't know anyone that is so perfect that once they've accepted Christ and made a new life for themselves, they've never sinned again. If you have, by the way, meet me in the back after service because I have some questions. Let's think back to the woman in John 8 and the interaction that Jesus had with her at the temple. He could have called out every sin that she committed, held every transgression against her. He could have cast that first stone, but he didn't. He showed grace before telling her to start living right. Go and sin no more. A true understanding of grace and mercy does not endorse nor promote more sin. Rather, it's designed to promote and produce gratitude and holiness. God's grace is so vast that there is nothing we could ever do to deserve it or earn it. When we truly understand God's grace, we seek out to live a life where we sin no more. Here is the most amazing part about God's grace, though. All you have to do is ask for it. God's grace is given free and willingly to anyone who seeks it. We've covered a lot of ground in the sermon today. A lot of difficult topics that I'm hoping God will use to stir some thoughts within us about maybe some things we've rationalized in our own lives. Maybe we've justified some things and accepted some things that aren't acceptable to God. And as the praise team is going to start making their way forward, I'm going to ask that you take some time to examine your life. We know that God loves us. There's no question there. But maybe there are some areas that he's calling you to deal with and not just continue to accept in your life. I want you to realize that you don't have to leave today carrying that burden and accepting that. That you can come to this altar, it's always open. So we're going to turn today to, I skipped right over my last slide, Jim. I'm not quite as good as you yet. We're going to turn to page 695 as we close today.